waiting for us here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Wilcox, I'm surprised you've waited this long in the show to talk about something I know that's near and dear to your heart that happened just yesterday. Your beloved Arizona Wildcats taking on hated rival Arizona State in college basketball yesterday.
They played last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, God.
I see. Thank you for playing the Arizona fight song. I appreciate that.
Really?
Nice win, by the way, for your Wildcats, 77-70 over in-state rival.
Yeah.
But did you see that there was an ejection in the game? You played basketball in high school and college. You ever ejected from a game?
I don't think I was ever ejected from a game.
I bring it up mainly to you, Chelsea, because it wasn't a player ejected from the Arizona State game last night. It was, in fact, a cheerleader ejected from the game last night. You guys want to play a little quiz? Why did the male cheerleader get ejected from the game last night?
He was going onto the court.
A male cheerleader was ejected from the Arizona State basketball game last night.
That is right. A referee walked over and pointed at the cheerleader and gave him the "you're out of here" sign. And the male cheerleader was escorted from the premises. Now, do they have female cheerleaders at Arizona? I don't know.
Do they have female cheerleaders? Yes.
They do? Okay.
Apparently, they have female and male.
Okay. I didn't know. Why do you think a male cheerleader would be ejected from a basketball? Great guess, by the way, Chelsea, running out onto the
court. Field of play.
Pants are too tight.
Oh.
Excessive polyester.
Oh, that
right?
would be...
Well, always wearing the polyester
but
uniforms.
But they're not tight, only in your imagination.
That's a crime against nature. I'm not sure.
You don't get booted for that?
No.
I can't imagine what else it would be. After the tight pants thing, I have no clue.
He threw
a pom-pom. That's not a euphemism for something.
Nah, he did not throw a pom-pom. According to Rule 10, Article 8 of the Official Referee Handbook for College Basketball, cheerleaders are not allowed to yell into their megaphone during gameplay. And they're also not allowed to call out players by name, which the cheerleader did both. So he was ejected from this game and like, "Steve! Steve, you suck! Steve! Look over here! Steve!"
Well, you're assuming it was the opponent. What if he's just encouraging his own teammates? And whose rule is this again?
I would think the referee might know the difference between the two, probably, as bad as the refereeing can be sometimes.
Ronald, you suck!
I understand, but if it's just yelling out somebody's name, again, whose rule is this? The cheerleader association?
He said it's college basketball.
It's college basketball rule.
So the guy behind him in the stands can have a megaphone and yell out Steve's name, but he can't?
That's exactly right. The male cheerleader was yelling into the megaphone during gameplay, calling out people by name. The referee spoke to the male cheerleader once and told him to stop it. He chose not to and was ejected from the game. The referee noted that the cheerleader was not using profanity. "You booger! I hate you and I hate your ass face!"
It's funny that you bring that up because this game was at Arizona State. They do a unique thing at Arizona State. I've never seen it at any other venue in any sport. When the opponents are shooting a free throw, behind the basket, they have a shower curtain. They open the curtain just as the guy is going into his free throw, and every time there's a different odd scenario unfolded behind the curtain.
What?
There'll be strange animals. There'll be dudes acting out some odd
to distract
thing.
It?
Yes, as a distraction for the opponent shooting a free throw. And it's a sanctioned, obviously the arena allows it, but they're on the ground. They're on the floor right behind basically the opponent's basket.
How is that
I've
allowed?
I've never seen it before. And it's interesting in light of what you just said, that a cheerleader just talking into a megaphone during the game is booted, but they're allowed to do
charades.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I've never seen that in any other venue.
ESPN actually did a video about the curtain of distraction. You can see it. It's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page right now.
My favorite one is the wrecking ball. The unicorn love story.
These are the students.
We do Richard Simmons outfits.
Who are behind the curtain of distraction.
The curtain of distraction is the single greatest free throw distracting device of all time. You're not even sure if someone's going to be clothed.
There's some distractions going on now.
So then they're intercutting it with actual gameplay of guys throwing up bricks from the foul line. And they're showing a split screen of what was behind the screen or the curtain of distraction. And it's very rarely a fully clothed individual.
And that's what they do during the game, by the way. They show the split screen. When you're watching it on whatever network you watch an Arizona State game on, they always, when the opponent shoots a free throw, they split screen it, they show the guy shooting, and then they show whatever's coming out from behind the curtain of distraction.
It's fantastic.
That's a visual I kind of want to get out of my head.
The curtain of distraction is something that our students came up with two summers ago. Opposing teams were shooting 75% into the student section, which we really took as an embarrassment to us. And so our students came up with the curtain of distraction, and sort of the rest is history.
The goal is to make sure we have the best free throw percentage defense in the country.
Since the curtain of distraction has come out, they're 1 for 3.
In the first half, teams are shooting in the 70s. When they go to the second half and shoot towards the student section and the curtain distraction, they shoot high 50s, low 60s.
We figure that it's good for about 2.5 points per game, so hopefully we figure that also then helps win games for us.
You think about how many times a college basketball game comes down to that one final shot. 2.5 points per game just for dressing up as a barely clothed Elvis who's heavy set, smearing body oil all over you makes a huge difference.
But how is that allowed? Right. And a cheerleader yelling Steve into a megaphone, as Woody did over and over again moments ago, is not allowed. Isn't that fascinating where they make that distinction? I tweeted it out as well. You can watch it yourself at Woody and Wilcox if you're not following along. And I'll tell you, for all the reasons that you haven't started following us on Twitter, now that you know that there's a video with a heavyset Elvis barely clothed rubbing oil on himself at a basketball game.
Right.
I think you're probably going to change your mind about following.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Well, I know there's a lot of discussion about what's going on in our world right now, and kids marching and speaking to governments and all sorts of things, and it's interesting to see. And then when you hear that a police department had to make an apology, maybe you assume that it had something to do with something along those lines. It did not. There's a police department, in this case in Canada, that had to apologize and make a retraction, which you don't always hear. And instead of me telling you why, I want to play the news report that explains it. And this is a Canadian television news report, and they'll fill in the blanks for you.
A York Regional police officer's comments on marijuana to a group of high school students here in Aurora has some health officials and pot activists looking to clear the air tonight.
So they're talking about legalization of marijuana. And so because this is maybe a possibility, different police organizations are going out and speaking to kids on, the do's and don'ts, the perils, perhaps, the health benefits or negative effects of marijuana.
This after an officer allegedly told a group of teens that smoking marijuana lowers testosterone and, quote, doobies make boobies.
They had to apologize because an officer told a high school class that doobies make boobies. Which
listen to how serious
has to be.
I know you have to be, but
doobies make boobies.
The
remember when we played the audio of the newscaster who had to say wiener poopy?
Yes, I do. Of course. I'll never forget it.
That's that same level of you dream mm-hmm. of a day like that when you come into your job as a newscaster and you're like, I get to say doobies make boobies?
Awesome. I mean, and obviously it's a reference to the dudes, I guess, in the class, because, I mean, I don't know that he'd be telling a negative if he said to the ladies.
Some girls are like, yes! Hey, yeah!
Smoke weed and your boobs will get bigger. I mean, that's not...
Giant cans.
No, I know. I understand. But that's not what he was talking about, I don't think.
York Regional Police tweeting today, we're no health experts, but we're pretty sure getting high does not cause enhanced mammary growth in men. We are aware of the misinformation about cannabis that was unfortunately provided to the community by our officers. We're working to address it.
They're working to address it.
Can you imagine being in that high school auditorium when the guy said, doobies make boobies? How could you keep those kids in check? That's hilarious, right?
I think
they're not ruckus laughter.
You're right. And I would hope that every other illicit drug that's out there would mm-hmm. have some sort of negative health consequence as well, right? Like taking LSD shrinks your wee-wee or something along those lines where they're giving you false information, but they're trying to sort of like, oh, you wouldn't want to do that because it'll emasculate you.
And it should rhyme, is what you're saying.
Oh, it's absolutely has got, yeah.
Doobies make boobies.
I can hear it at the end there. She's like, oh, where did I, what brought me to this moment in my career?
Start smoking crack, you'll start dragging your sack.
Keep working on it. You may come across something that works.
Doobies make boobies.
So apparently doobies do not make boobies. Keep that in mind as you move through your day today.
The Woody and Wilcox Show. It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
As you woke up this morning, stretching a little bit, are you feeling a little bit sore? Maybe you could use a back rub, Chelsea?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's pretty much every morning.
Every day.
The behind the scenes, Chelsea makes some sort of remark like, you know, you guys could rub my back today.
Yes. I figure if I ask every day, eventually you'll do it.
Not going to happen. But you do go get a massage from time to time, do you not, Chelsea?
I have a hard time relaxing, but sometimes I do.
You have a hard time relaxing while you're just laying on the table yes. right there. Well, you may want to adjust where you're going to make you feel a little bit more comfortable, as now you can get a cat massage.
How is massaging a cat going to make me more comfortable?
You're not massaging the cat. The cat is massaging you. Now, naturally, this comes to us from the land of wonder known as Japan. And it's not just the cat who comes in and plays, you know, some pan flute music and begins walking up and down your back.
Do cats play pan flute music? That would relax me.
They hit play on the CD.
They light a candle and apply essential oils.
Yes. This is a cat massage that is performed by one human and one feline. While perhaps...
Tag team.
Yeah, basically is exactly what it is. They put a thin sheet over your back that attracts the cat, and then the cat does the...
the make muffins?
The making muffins is what we always called it, yeah. Right? When a cat gets excited and begins kneading mm-hmm. at a piece of cloth or perhaps into your skin, as happens in some cases, the cat massages up and down your back, and they say the gentle purring and the touch of the cat helps soothe and relax you, while the human maybe dives a little deeper and, you know, will be working on your calves or your legs while the kitty cat is on your back sitting there.
So you're paying to have a cat rub your back.
You say that like it's a weird thing.
No, I don't mean to. I'm just asking for clarification.
Need it, I guess, with the claws, but that could be painful, A.
What if it has brain freeze?
It would have to be a fat cat, too, right? To really
give it
some pressure.
Well, no, it's probably not doing a deep tissue massage, Chelsea.
Right.
What is it doing?
They say it opens up the blood vessels and that the cat being near helps lower your blood pressure.
Unless you hate cats or are allergic to them, obviously.
I assume you wouldn't go in that case, right. Chelsea. This isn't mandatory.
Right. They're not forcing
people. Every man, woman, and child. I wouldn't be surprised if someday we get to that. I feel like the cat thing is really starting to play itself out. What? Wasn't it last week or 2 weeks ago we discovered that there's an item? Somebody's doing a Kickstarter where you can lick your own cat.
Yes.
With a licky brush.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to lick your cat? Mm-hmm. Well, of course. Who hasn't?
After you lick it, it'll walk on your back.
After you lick it, it'll do almost anything. Right.
Depends upon how well you lick it.
Cats aren't known for being cooperative when you want them to do something.
Like, what?
Is this thin sheet going to have catnip in it? Or, you know?
It's proprietary. They won't release the information. They don't want somebody stealing their idea.
Will I be able to choose my cat? Much like the cat house itself. I'm like, I'll have the hairless one.
No, Chelsea. You don't get to walk up and down a row and get to meet the cats.
Why not? Maybe I don't want a Persian. Maybe I want, you know, a Siamese on my back.
Slow down. I'm trying to write all this down. I'll have the hairless one. Got that?
These are important questions.
Right.
And that's what I'm here for, to ask the questions that everybody else is thinking.
Right. You didn't want the thin one. You want the fat cat.
Yeah, I went to the fattest cat you have.
Here's the part of the show where we discuss what weight of cat you would want if you were getting a massage from a cat. That's what's happening right now, if you're just tuning in.
Now, keep in mind, this is only in Japan, but like a lot of things, it starts overseas, and then it quickly makes its way to America.
Yeah. Eventually, Simon Cowell will become involved somehow, like everything else that starts overseas.
I wouldn't mind a massage from that man.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what that means.
When you got a haircut that bad.
His chest hair alone.
It looks like a cat gave him a haircut.
We've got some audio of the massage.
The cat or the human?
It's a very aggressive cat.
The Woody and Wilcox Show. It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we've got a round of It Happened in Florida. That's what we're going to play here. And Woody and I are going to share three stories real quick. All of them are true, but one of them happened in the troubled state of Florida. And that's the one that you need to identify to win this thing. It's a tip of the cap saying, hey, Florida, I see how consistent you are with the crazy. We'd like to celebrate that right now. So 844-4WW-SHOW to get in and spot that story. Woody's got story number one right here.
Story number one could very well be the perfect It Happened in Florida story because it has the three main elements that you want. A lawsuit, a fat dog, and a woman on a tricycle.
Say that again.
An 84-year-old man was walking his overweight Alaskan Malamute when it broke free from its leash and chased a woman who was riding by on a tricycle. She was triking with her terrier cross dog named Woody, of all things, when she claims that this Alaskan Malamute attacked her and her dog. We know about this because of the lawsuit. The man was cited for having a dangerous dog out of control. However, the judge sided with our friend, the 84-year-old, in story number one when he presented the dog as, quote, being too fat to run after her. And the judge is like, yep, that dog is way too fat to chase after anybody on a tricycle.
I see. I was wondering why you mentioned that the dog was overweight, because I couldn't imagine how that had any bearing on the story.
Quote, she got fat because of whatever happened with her former owner. It's not my fault. She loves treats. She came into my life just recently. And so the dog and the man have been acquitted of the charges against them.
That's similar to the guy who was caught exposing himself but says, oh, no, no, I'm too small
to be seen.
There's no way I could have exposed myself.
That's a fact.
Comparing a fat husky to a micro penis.
That's what we do here on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Is that what's happening?
Used to be the name of our show. That giant fat husky and micro penis. Wow. Wish I hadn't have said that.
Because I was fat husky.
Right, and I was micro penis.
Yeah.
Hey, fat husky.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hold on. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm here. Rock.
Story number two has to do with the same old thing. When you hear about a school having to go on lockdown, that's a terrifying thing. Mm-hmm. What usually is the reason for that? Anybody?
Armed shooter on the loose.
Armed shooter on the loose. I guess I should probably give it to you for that, Chelsea, although I don't think I can. In this case, the elementary school went into lockdown because there was a man firing at squirrels in his attic nearby. You know, that old story.
That's what I mean. There's an armed person somewhere in the vicinity.
So I guess I have to give it to you for that. Luckily, he was not at the school, obviously. He was in his own home shooting squirrels in his attic. When the shooting was heard, obviously, within some proximity of the elementary school. So the school was shut down for 90 minutes while they tried to figure out what was happening. And then realized that it was just some dude in his attic shooting squirrels. Could it be more Florida story than that?
You're so close to being that guy.
I will be that guy. Yeah,
yes, you will.
Yeah. Is it Florida in this case? 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody's got story number two, or three.
Story number three. Wilcox, Chelsea, if you saw a marijuana plant, would you be able to identify it just by sight?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. I bring it up because in story number three, a couple is filing a lawsuit against the police department and their insurance company. See, what happened was they had a tree fall on part of their house, and the insurance agent came over and was looking at it, peered over the fence, and was like, marijuana.
Marijuana.
And then he called the cops. Cops showed up and arrested the 66-year-old woman and 69-year-old man, stuffed them in the back of a cop car while they ran through the backyard looking for this incredibly dangerous plant. Now, what we know is the fact that they were growing hibiscus in the backyard. Would you recognize a hibiscus plant, or perhaps the flower if you saw it? And would you know that it looks vastly different than marijuana?
That I would know.
4 hours in a patrol car, by the way, is what they spent before being released without charges.
But what about the smell?
Did you get that?
I feel like she said things similar before, but I will note that.
What do you mean, what about the smell?
Well, Chelsea? Marijuana has a special smell that I don't think the hibiscus has.
I can't confirm or deny, officer. Was it in Florida where their insurance agent was pretty sure he saw marijuana? So they spent 4 hours in a cop car.
I'm so pissed.
Where he pled with the officer, I'll show you pictures of marijuana on the internet. It looks nothing like hibiscus. But they wouldn't listen to him.
What about the smell?
Right. It smells bad enough.
Smell the inside. Oh.
No.
Karen, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida, do you think?
Story number one.
No, sadly, not even in this country. In the UK is where Mishka, the overweight Alaskan Malamute, has been, cleared of all charges of attacking a woman on a tricycle. Let's talk to Dave next. Dave, 50-50 shot. What do you think?
Story number three.
No. Pennsylvania is where an auditor for an insurance company was pretty sure he thought that looks like marijuana, and it turns out to be hibiscus. Brian, can you solve it with one left?
Long time listener of the Fat Husky and Micro Penis Show. Well, and I'll go story number two.
Number two, yes. We got to get bumper stickers of that.
That is funny. Cocoa, Florida is where the dude was shooting squirrels in his attic somewhere near the school, and the school shut down for 90 minutes to figure out, I guess, where the shots were coming from and why. It was just some dude listening to the Fat Husky and Micropenis show. Finally drove him to fire shots in his own attic is what that was.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. Fresh batch of the stuff that sounds dirty that we've taken out of context from the broadcast of golf tournaments. All brand new ones this week, and I think a couple of instant classics in there as well. This is where you point and giggle. Bring out your inner 12-year-old. Here's your fun with golf audio for this week.
Just needs to go ahead and just stick one in here. Quit waiting around for something good to happen. It's time to make it happen.
17 in stiff. Amazing stuff. Great up and down.
Yeah.
if you like golf or not.
You then try to muscle it out there with your body, but you do have a good pair of hands. Now, what we need to have happen is use that kind of light, free hand action. Now, right here, his grip is way too weak. So now he is swinging the shaft with his hands and arms.
That's a lot of description of emailing the bagpiper.
Yeah.
Coach! Machine.
Seen the old cooch machine before, haven't you?
I've seen some videos.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Just go ahead and bring a very confident stroke.
Well, from here on in, these things are more about the moment than they are about the technique of your stroke. How willing are you to accept the moment? How well can you perform? Evidently, very well. If you're Tim Clark, he gets it up and in.
The birds tweeting in the background always make it for me.
Snedeker. Pops it in.
That was his fourth up and down in a row.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So he's just going to kind of squeeze this one out there. Scott, earlier this week, had a vein burst.
No!
Come on round. A little softer. That might have gone down close to the hole. It's going to be slippery.
Well, it's a little wide.
He had a vein burst.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I do like that old style, especially if it's firm and fast and you've got lots of different variations. And like number two, no drainage underneath.
Oh.
Now, Snedeker.
Been driving it beautifully this backside. We're making a confident pass at it.
Come on!
I love the dude screaming.
There's no drainage under the number two. Come on!
Yeah! This whole location, narrow and difficult to find.
This whole location protected by a nice mound.
How about that little jiggle to the left? And in it goes.
Stop it with the hole protection. Come on.
Let's see the angle.
Oh.
He might be able.
Can
he get it up quick enough? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's always the bottom line.
Just really trying to work on rhythm and motion and freedom. Kind of what I call dead-handed. You're going to see it start to open up just a little bit and the spine tilt back to the right. When the spine tilts back to the right too much, angle of attack is going to come from the inside, and that's his push.
All right. God. Get a room.
I also think you're going to see some players going side saddle.
Yes, they'll have to figure out a way to get it in.
Kyle Stanley trying to do that now.
He's tried lots of different ways as well, hasn't he? It's firm on top. You know, 10-20% more, longer. He's just going to have a big thump right on that white box.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh. It's going to have a big thump on the white box is what he's going to do, Chels.
There's your Fun with Golf audio. It'll be up on our podcast there on the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Check it out after the show.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I want to play a clip from the Colbert Show last night. He had a celebrity on. I don't think you're going to get this. I'm going to throw that out there right away. But I want to play this clip, and it's twofold. I want you guys to figure out who it is, and then hear the jobs that she used to have.
Did you have a variety of?
Oh,
of
I
jobs
did everything. Like I mean, I started out like working at I had a paper out. I mowed lawns. Then I
as a child.
Then I was a checkout girl. Then I waitressed for like 10 years. I answered phones in a brothel.
I'm sorry. One more time.
Well, it was in Australia, so it was legal there.
Wait, prostitution is legal in Australia?
It was when I lived there.
Still is.
They made an exception for you.
No, it was like the only job. It was like $20 an hour, but that was like 15 years ago.
How do you get a job as a receptionist at a brothel?
It's not hard. You just But then they wanted me to clean the towels, and I was like, I quit.
Anybody have any idea, A, who that is, and then B, that receptionist at a brothel was a gig?
I'm being serious this time.
Okay.
Sarah Silverman. It sounds like her.
For those that don't know, literally every time I play a clip, man or woman, honestly, Chelsea always says, is that Sarah Silverman?
You're exaggerating now. Mm. It's not every time, but I feel like it is this time.
I feel like you're warranted this time. It is not Sarah Silverman, although it is a similar-minded comedian. I mean, I don't know if that's a fair way to phrase that.
Nikki Glaser?
No, but you're very close. And like I said, I don't think you're going to get it, but I know you know who she is. Natasha Leggero.
Oh, yeah.
That's Natasha Leggero, who was a receptionist at a brothel.
I didn't know that was a job. No. I've been
And Stephen Colbert, who I think of as far more enlightened than I am, also did not know it was a job. So I don't feel too bad.
Well, I've been to a couple of brothels, and in Nevada, there was no receptionist.
What do you do when you walk in?
You ring the buzzer, and then the house mom usually comes out, or somebody looks out to make sure that you don't look like you're going to kill someone, and then they let you in. That's it.
Well, think about before Al Gore's internet, what did people do? You have to call to make a reservation, so I presume that's what she was there for. Find out the rates, the girl.
You can't make a reservation.
Well, maybe people are calling to find that out. There's no internet. How else are you going to find out how to get a hooker?
Luke says that he worked at Charlotte Motor Speedway, making sure that people didn't number two in the urinals. He does say, at least I got to watch the race. So I'm wondering what race you were watching at the urinal, Luke. Is that a race that I'm not familiar with?
I'm going to go with the guy in the beard. The guy in the beard is going to finish first. Come on, guy in the beard. Yes! He finished first. I could tell he had small hands.
I had you in my quinella. I'm going to say I didn't know that was a job. Now, I have to imagine that, like Woody monitoring for vomit in the all-you-can-eat restaurant, that was only a partial portion of his job, but maybe not. Maybe Luke literally had to, this is a Twitter, so I don't have more details. Luke, if you want, you could share exactly what that means. Did you literally just stand next to a urinal waiting for people to not dump in it?
Sir, turn around. Turn around, sir.
How big of a problem was it that they needed to hire somebody to monitor that?
Luke, here's a stack of paper cups, and I want you to catch anything that comes out.
What do you do if you see somebody just backing that thing up against the urinal? Do you blow an air horn?
I think you have to block it with your body.
That's right.
You're like a security.
Secret
service. Yes. You got to take a dive in front of that. You're protecting the urinal.
Push them into the stall. I don't know.
There's nothing more precious than a urinal at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I think we all know that.
The last 3 years of my career, I've been a turd blocker at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
If you can do that, you can do pretty much anything.
That's right. You can block a turd. You can block.
I don't know what. I think you're trying to do a dodgeball line.
Yes.
You can dodge a wrench.
You can dodge a ball.
Right. So
I feel like I need more information.
I believe there are a lot of questions that go hand in hand with you monitoring urinals for number two. And I don't.
Please don't say hand in hand.
Thanks to Kelly, who rang in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Are we just going to gloss over the fact that Woody knows how brothels in Nevada work? She added on, it was kind of braggy.
It was. You should have seen his face when he was talking about it.
Hang on a second. You're bragging that you went to a brothel. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, well, you're the one who did it. I don't need to think about it. You're the one who sounded kind of braggy talking about it. Like
have
Kelly
you ever
mentioned.
Been to one?
I've not been to one.
It's not on everyone's bucket list, Woody.
It should be.
Do you want to explain, or do you want to just let it lay there?
We happen to know the guy who was a part of the HBO series Cat House, Dennis Hoff, who owns those places. And before Wilcox and I worked together, I did several broadcasts and took listeners who won a trip to visit Miss Kitty's Cat House and the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Yeah, you're making that face, Chelsea, but... these are people who
see,
wrote
those
in.
Of you that think Woody is gross now, you should have seen what it was like 15 to 20 years ago before we worked together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to give away trips to brothels on his radio show. Can you imagine the look on the face of the ladies when Woody comes sauntering in the door? Mm. You can reveal it or not. Did you partake in the festivities?
Oh.
Well, I think that's what people assume, and I want to give him the opportunity to either say yay or nay.
I did not.
See, there you go. He didn't. He didn't actually have relations with the ladies.
No, there were several dudes I boned there. Though.
It may not have been his choice.
Just the listeners.
Let's be honest.
Let's just say I tried, and everybody said no.
And your money's no good here.
Back then, I had money.
I doubt that.
Before I was married, I was like, look.
Thanks to Luke, by the way, he has responded on Twitter to say that he would stand ominously and judgmentally near the urinals. That was his technique. Because we wondered aloud how you do that. He did expand and say, I don't know what I was supposed to do in the event of.
Well, do you have a special badge that says number two monitor? Because otherwise you're just a creepy guy staring at guys in the urinal. Right.
Judgmentally, like looking down on them, like,
Ominously and judgmentally watching for number twos.
All right. What's the job interview like? I need you to look at me judgmentally.
Now I'm going to drop anchor and you need to prevent it. Right. Go.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We're talking about things that we didn't know were jobs. I didn't know it was a job. That's kind of the topic. And thanks to those of you that have chimed in on Twitter. Now, I'm trying to get through Brandon's tweet. My dad lived in Switzerland and would take ladies out to lunch while their car was being worked on at the car dealership. So his job was to take women to lunch while their car was being worked on. Now, you don't mean he was like a shuttle driver. That I've heard of. You know, if you need to get somewhere while they're working on your car, there's a shuttle that may take you back to work. You're saying that he would go have lunch with women. I'm going to need proof of that, Brandon.
I
realize that there are different cultural things between the United States and Switzerland.
How many times can you go to lunch in one day?
Well, there's that, right?
You come home, you're like,
yes.
Nothing for me, honey. I'm stuffed. I just had lunch with eight women.
Did he go with all of them at once, or was it individually? I feel like that's not a thing.
You can't work on all those cars at once, and I don't want to drop off my car to have work done and then go eat lunch with a strange man. Like, am I getting a discount?
It's Wilcox's dream. Are you kidding me?
Is it lunch in finger quotes here?
These are all great questions, and I feel like that can't be a thing. Brandon, are you making this up? What's happening? I need to know more.
844-4WW-SHOW. Alex has been waiting to tell his story about a buddy of his. Alex, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's the story, man?
Well, I knew this kid a couple years ago. He used to get paid by a mattress company to go out and sleep on one of their king mattresses on the side of the road for 8 hours a day. He was going hungover all the time and just sleep it off all day long.
Why would he sleep on a mattress on the side of a road?
I don't know. If they were paying him $10 an hour to do it.
Wait, you don't know why they were paying him to do it?
That was his job.
Some kind of advertising.
One of our mattresses, 8 hours a day.
Chelsea thinks it's some sort of advertising.
It has to be. What else would it be? Like testing it out in case you're camping with a mattress?
I assumed for some reason it was testing.
Yeah.
But maybe that could be wrong.
That wouldn't be on the side of the road, but maybe there was a sign or something on the back of the mattress. But wouldn't you be afraid somebody would hit you or the police would get involved?
You're willing to do that for $80 a day for sleeping.
He was just chilling out there, but paid him $10 an hour to go out there and just sleep.
Did you know how long he did it?
He did it for about 4 or 5 months.
That's it?
Pretty much the duration of...
Chelsea, your response to that was, that's it?
4 to 5 months of him getting paid to sleep on a mattress on the side of the road. Doesn't drop your jaw a little bit?
4 to 5 months sounds like an eternity to me.
Not at all. I mean, you have to deal with the elements, so you'd have to work around that. But you're basically working and sleeping at the same time, so you've got the rest of your day free. You don't have to sleep.
But my point is, I would have assumed that he only got to do that maybe for a week or two. I mean, that's the dream job. The fact that it would be 4 months, that seems like a long time.
Oh, I'm thinking he quit after 4 months, and why? Because I would continue to do it. Like, I'm on the same page as you.
Why would you assume he quit? No, the job had to end. You don't quit that job, right?
That job
quit? Alex, do you know, did he quit, or did they just say, that's it?
Well, he had to go away to school, so he was pretty much forced to quit.
School.
Right. Screw school, that's right. For $10 an hour, baby.
No, you ride that job until it's over, and then you go to school, because you can pay for it after that.
Well, Alex, I'd like you to find out more about why this was a job, but I'm fascinated by it. either way. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thanks to everybody who has rung in on social media. One of the more interesting was our buddy Beer Club Brandon, who said that his dad would take women to lunch when they came into the car dealership to get their car fixed. He has clarified a little bit on that because we all wondered how that's even possible. He said this was back in the 50s, maybe early 60s, and the mentality was that ladies should not be left waiting at the car dealership for their car to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's job was to take them out. And I guess, among other things, go to lunch. See, I wondered aloud if this was just something that Brandon's dad told him when Brandon's dad was caught with a woman somewhere around town, right?
No, we're not dating.
That's right, son, this is just my job. It's okay, don't tell mom.
But dad, you don't have your pants on. That's what they like at this restaurant. It's Switzerland.
Most women want to get room service for lunch while their car is being fixed, and that's why we're in the bed together.
Little calisthenics in between.
That's right. Everything is fine. This is how I'm paying to get you through college.
We're doing hot yoga.
That's right.
I don't understand any of that.
No, I don't either, but apparently it was a thing.
Say yoga or yogurt?
Thanks to Ashley, who said, you know what? On the Ellen show the other day, the whole cast of the new Ghostbusters was on.
Oh.
Kristen Wiig and all those ladies. And Leslie Jones, who's on Saturday Night Live and is also one of the Ghostbusters, also had a job that I didn't know existed. And here's the clip of that.
So, Leslie, I didn't know you were a writer before you were a performer. I just know you as a performer. But I understand there's many, many jobs you've had. Mm-hmm. I think we've all had crazy jobs before we got lucky enough to do this for a living. But you were a telemarketer for Scientology?
Yeah. They kind of still don't know I'm not a Scientologist. Thanks for blowing my cover. Yes.
So wait, how do you get... So they just say, you're a telemarketer. I didn't even know they did that.
I lived in Glendale. I needed to pay the rent. And it was a very easy interview. I just act crazy.
Telemarketer for Scientology.
How does that call go?
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. So a recruiter?
Yeah.
Is that what she means? Like, hey, have you thought about Scientology? A lot of fun. Tom Cruise and so forth.
I don't think they go that blunt. I think they're like, hey, how would you like to live better in your life? Like any other religion, when they come around either knocking on your door or trying to hand out a pamphlet,
right,
they sort of obscure the fact that they're trying to recruit you into a new religion.
Have you ever had a call from Scientology? And you don't think they would mention Tom Cruise? I feel like that'd be top five.
Before or
you
after
may
he jumped
get
on the
a
couch.
Chance to meet Tom Cruise. I don't know how that works. Maybe you don't get that chance. I don't know. I just think of him as the most famous Scientologist. I know there are others.
John Travolta.
Is that right? He may give you a massage.
You may give him a massage.
Either way.
I want to know more about that, too.
There's another one I didn't know existed.
You're
I wonder.
Just tickling my fancies here.
Yeah. And maybe Brandon's dad will take you to lunch, too.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, you may not know the importance of what today is. You may just think, well, I don't know, it's another day. No, today is more than another day. Today is the day that we celebrate Bear Grylls turning 42 years old. And you may say, Wilcox, and you may not even know Bear Grylls. Maybe you don't know who Bear. I think he's fairly famous these days, right? Maybe height of his popularity was a couple of years back when he did the what was it, Man versus Wild? Was that the show that he initially did that we came to know Bear Grylls from?
Yes,
the English guy who clearly created an entire TV empire strictly so that he could drink his own urine.
Right?
That's all he did. Where it would be an hour long show where he'd go out in the jungle and he'd sit down and he'd drink urine for an hour. That was it.
How many episodes have you seen?
He would strictly find interesting locales around the globe and then drink urine. It was like a
Here I am
it was like
in
a
Cancun.
Travel show, right?
It's really hot today. I've got to drink my own urine.
And so, you know, today being his 42nd birthday, that's a big one. Why not stay home? Why even go to work today? Stay home and also drink urine.
Really?
To celebrate.
It may seem disgusting, but your own urine is safe to drink.
Why the sound effects? I mean, we get it, okay? We know what he's... You can just say it. You don't need to, like...
Yes, you do.
And if I just peed on the ground, that's all those fluids wasted.
Right. All right. Yeah.
What was that?
I love how they've mic'd him so close.
God, there's no getting away from it.
Yeah, it's delicious, no. Isn't it?
Those are amped up sound effects. Kind of like Jesse. The Baxter going into the water. That stream is not that hard.
Chelsea, these are professional gaffers and micers. I don't know if micers is the right word, but sound people who work on TV shows mm-hmm. who are professionals at capturing the sound of one man drinking his own urine. And if you can't accept how lifelike it is, then that's on you.
This was the same guy who was caught, like, sleeping in a hotel when he was supposed to be out in the wild. Now, granted, he was still drinking his own urine.
That's what I mean. Right. I mean, obviously.
The whole camera crew was sitting around going, do it.
The premise of the show was that he was dropped off in the middle of nowhere and had to find his way out. Yes. And then at one point they were like, I don't know how legitimate it is. And I think there was something about a hotel room and when the cameras weren't rolling. But you're right. Then he actually did drink his own urine at the hotel room as well.
That's when they knew. But he's known for just more than that. Remember he gave himself an enema that one time on the show?
Of course I do. I know everything about Bear Grylls and how he does things with his body.
But there is a way of using it to gain life-giving fluids, but only as a last resort. I'm going to give myself an enema. Not expecting this to be particularly pleasant, but there are stories of this saving people's lives. There's one particular family who was stranded in a life raft, and all of this water had gathered in the bottom of it, but they'd been feeding off turtles. It was mixed with turtle blood. It had gone fetid, and the only way they managed to stay hydrated was by using that fetid water and giving themselves an enema. The Robertson family survived 38 days adrift because they were willing to do anything to stay alive.
It's him starting the enema.
The mother was a nurse and knew that the colon can absorb fluid. By performing an enema, you bypass the gag reflex, rehydrating your body without the risk of vomiting. And then once it's in... Oh, I guess all you can do is lie back... And think of England!
Sit down.
Think of England?
That's right.
That's what he said, yeah.
That's what I always think of when I get myself an enema. Right. Regardless of where I am.
Cold. Anytime you've got a tube snaking out of your backside, you're supposed to think of England.
I feel like I'd rather do that than drink my own urine, just, you know, on a Sunday fun day.
Well, not on any day today. Today, Chelsea. It's his birthday today. So think about which way you want to celebrate. Go about your business.
If you've got a gag reflex,
maybe go to the back door.
That's right.
So
we will boldly go to Yogurt Land.
No, you won't go to Yogurt. Right. So happy birthday, Bear Grylls. We're thinking about you.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We now live in a world where everything is connected to the internet, right? Wasn't that long ago we were talking about the refrigerator that now will scan foods and tell you when they're expired, or the oven that sends you a tweet when your Hot Pocket is done. Now there is a toothbrush that is available so that you can live stream a video feed of you brushing your teeth to social media. Check out how many likes I got on my molars. My bicuspid is going viral. My incisors are trending. Wouldn't want to like click on Facebook and see the inside of their buddy's mouth.
So your toothbrush has a camera on it, and it's what now?
It is a new toothbrush, thanks to Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, that will allow you to stream a feed to your phone and then share that feed via social media with your dentist, theoretically. However, you could share it with anybody you wanted to, who wanted to see a live feed of you brushing your teeth. It was invented by a dentist who's like, look, a lot of people brush their teeth the wrong way. They're not hitting the right spots. If I could show them a video of themselves brushing their teeth, they would break those bad habits and get into better habits. And so he has come out with the $400 toothbrush that has a 1080p, 10 megapixel camera inside of it with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth that will stream.
God, we were just last week talking about the tampons that were Bluetooth enabled. Remember that?
Oh,
yeah. I don't think those had a camera in them.
What a missed opportunity there.
Put that up on Facebook.
What are you doing?
Hey, everybody.
I'm literally streaming on the internet right now. Oh.
Well, but same reason. You could upload that video to your, you know, your gynecologist.
No. There's, what are you saying? That they want to see that your technique is correct.
Well.
Not that your uterus is smiling. Different things.
Maybe your tampon technique is bad and they want to check on that.
Again, right? Just like with the brushing the teeth, isn't this something I can demonstrate for you during the office visit and you can correct my technique then? Why do I need a special toothbrush to see my, you know, wisdom teeth?
Chelsea, plaque is relentless. Comes back every day. The cavity creeps are real.
What are you talking about? What does this have to do? Why does anybody need a video of the inside of my mouth?
Well, I can tell you some reasons. It had nothing to do with health.
Right. How soon until this is used on a different cavity?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, he's got a point.
No, he doesn't.
No. Yeah, I do.
Yes,
I know the internet.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right. It's got a little light. It's got a little camera. Action.
It's like a little miner going into the...
Yes.
Going into mine
with
for...
a tiny little canary on his shoulder.
Coal miner.
This is a product that is going to be available very, very soon.
What's next? A Q-tip?
Oh.
Want to see the inside of my ear?
Hmm? I think once we've discussed the tampon, the Q-tip is sort of...
moot.
Yeah, we've gone beyond
the
that.
The Q-tip is moot. $400. $390.
I think for people who are new at whatever the process is, whether brushing teeth. Yeah, it's sort of like training wheels for your toothbrush.
You want like a two-year-old to do the $400 toothbrush? Like they give a damn about the video. Oh, you're missing this spot here. Whatever. If you can get them to sing the alphabet while they brush their teeth, that's enough. Have them sit down and watch a video.
What? You're very angry about this, Chelsea. Settle down.
People have ridiculous expectations of things, and they're just trying to sell us expensive products. It's brushing teeth. People have been doing it since the beginning of time. Go to the dentist twice a year and be done with it. You get a free toothbrush there.
Preparation H is going to come out with a camera. That's what. Make sure you're doing that right. Put that on the internet. I'm the king of my bathroom on Foursquare. Look at that. 10th time this week.
That's right.
Put the old rectal cam into action.
That's called a colonoscopy.
Well, think if you could do it yourself. Cut out the middleman. I mean, that's a lot of money that you would pay normally, right, for that sort of service at a doctor. What if you could do it at home? Eventually, you'll be able to do your own surgery.
Well, you can already check your own oil.
I change my oil. Yes, I can check it as well. It's not related.
You'll be able to do your own surgery. Are you two listening to the words coming out of your mouth?
Baby steps, I think.
Absolutely. It starts with your mouth, and it ends with your backside.
The back door, right.
Tuggy, tuggy, tug.
All right. I think it's a great technological breakthrough, and I think you're not seeing the bigger picture, Chelsea.
You're right.
They jerked them off.
All right. What did that has nothing to do with it.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm feeling a little depressed and a little bit down right now.
What's wrong, Woody?
The world keeps getting more and more complicated, and I'm not smart enough to keep up with it.
Well, you're not smart enough to keep up with a lot of things.
So. I know, but I had a handle on it for like 10 years.
Did you?
I doubt that.
I bring it up because I'm a little bit flustered. A friend of ours, a young friend, she recently bought her first house. And, you know, big moment, you post on Instagram and on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. Well, and we get a phone call. Hey, I bought a house, blah, blah, blah. And she wanted to speak to my wife because this friend of ours wanted to buy gifts for the real estate agent and the loan officer that she got her loan for, and was asking my wife's help on what she should get. What would be appropriate to get for your real estate agent and loan officer? And I immediately was like, how about this? Nothing. The real estate agent gets paid money based on the sale price of your house. Your gift is that 3% or whatever. The loan officer's job is to get you a loan and to make it as painless as possible. You do not have to get them a house plant because they did their job. Look, I am not allowed to carry cash because I'll spend it, which screws me because now everybody's got a tip jar. I go to buy gas. If I go inside, there's a guy with a tip jar right there. Is there supposed to be a gift if the guy makes it an easy transaction? Yes, I'd like $20 on pup number 3. Here is a small wrapped gift that I carry with me because I'm unsure of who gets a gift and who doesn't.
Well, I think on some of that, I'm with you. I'm very confused about what I feel is excessive gift giving in my life.
Really? Is it me, or does everybody get a gift now, Chelsea? Everybody. Because I'm confused. Like, when I was growing up, if you had a door guy at a hotel who got your cab, my old man would slip him a buck or two. Cool, I get it. Bellhop carries your bags up to the room and flips the lights on. He gets a couple of bucks. Got it. Now it's everybody. The person who takes your credit card at the front desk. You got to tip them, right? The guy who's just looking at you, who doesn't even work at the hotel, who's standing right by an elevator, he gets a buck.
Huh. Right. Two different things, I think, the tipping and the gifting.
But I think they're in business transactions, you're not supposed to tip because that looks like some sort of weird bribe. Or if it's a teacher, teachers get gifts. And I get that. Used to be in Wilcox's day, you would walk into class and fire an apple up onto the teacher's desk. But that was before a test. Like, hey, remember me, I'm Wilcox, give me a good grade. Boop,
boop, boop, boop. Wait, why are you throwing me under the bus? You're Woody, by the way. You know who you are.
Yes,
right?
But that used to be a thing, right? Back when you would like write on chalkboards and bring in charcoal and do stuff like that, you bring the teacher an apple.
There was a charcoal reference in there for some reason. I don't even know what that was.
I had Lincoln on the brain. I don't know.
I feel like you're all fired up over somebody else's life.
Because I'm getting left behind. It's not, I'm bringing her up as an example because gift giving in business is now a big thing. And when we bought our house, guess what? Our real estate agent, we didn't get him anything. Our loan officer, don't even know his name.
Okay, maybe that's your experience. And let's give this young lady the benefit of the doubt. It's her first house. Maybe it was a difficult transaction and these people took extra time to walk her through it. Maybe it wasn't so cut and dry and she just wants to say, hey, here's a nice note to say thank you so much. This has been a big part of my life.
Not a nice note.
Here's a nice candle.
She wants a present. She's giving presents, Chelsea.
It's like a token of appreciation. It doesn't have to be like tickets to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Your token of appreciation is the business you gave them.
On Twitter, from our buddy Keep Charlotte Boring, says, hey, Woody, shut your mouth. I love it when customers buy me gifts, like the Patron that I got for selling a dude a car. Don't F this up, man.
Yeah.
So here's a guy who obviously is selling cars and received a gift after selling somebody a car.
But that probably doesn't happen every time. And I don't think he expects that to happen every time.
I'm not saying that this is I'm anti-gift. I'm pro-gift. The question I have is, somebody needs to inform my dumbass when I'm supposed to give a gift and when I'm not supposed to. Because when I was growing up, birthday, Christmas, maybe a bar mitzvah, you give a gift. Outside of that, just because it's Thursday, you don't get a gift. You did your job right, you don't get a gift.
Do you feel like you're being forced to do this, or is your wife like
society,
doing this?
Yes. Society is forcing me, and I feel like I'm going to either have to start carrying a purse or a small wagon with various wrapped packages to give to people, and I don't know exactly who to give them to.
I don't want to see
you and your wagon get out of here. Right. It's like, oh, here comes that jackhole with his wagon of gifts again. He's handing them out, and I don't know. I don't. It's me, Chelsea. It's me. When am I supposed to give it? When am I not supposed to give it?
Thanks to Kelly on the Facebook page. If we're giving gifts for a job well done, Woody, it's going to be a while. So I think he shares your pain.
I think you're exactly right on that one. There's lots of people, though, that I think that agree with me on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page who say, Ashley, as a matter of fact, says, worked in real estate, you do not give them a gift. They give you a gift. The best gift you can give your agent and loan officer is a referral. So you tell a friend what a great job they did, they get more business. Amen, Ashley, and thanks for the note.
But if I feel like moved by someone's kindness or generosity or the time spent with me,
give them a referral.
I want to like write a note and, you know, have a small token of my appreciation. Like that's how I want to say thank you. What's wrong with that?
A lot. Because people should be doing a good job for you throughout your life.
That's fine. But you know, the gift giving is about me feeling good too. Have you ever heard that?
Nope.
Better to give than to receive and all that other. Okay.
That's a load of crap saved up for the holidays.
Feliz Navidad.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know, we live in the greatest country in the entire world, and it's sad that some people don't believe that, but we here at the Woody and Wilcox Show do.
Only 28% of Americans think the U.S. is the greatest country in the world.
The United States is the greatest country on the face of the planet.
You know the good old U.S. of A. as the best country on the planet.
I think that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of the earth.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
USA! 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 Come on!
What are we cheering about? Yes, okay. USA! What do you got?
Well, somebody has filed a lawsuit, and it has major implications for every single man in America. He has won his case thanks to a 3-0 vote by the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. This man is in prison, and they at the prison said, I know you have marbles under the skin of your unit. We're going to have to take those marbles out since you're in our prison. And they went ahead and did surgery on the manhood and removed the marbles, and that was against the law.
I feel like you're just throwing words together in a sentence yeah. that are not really saying something.
No, I'm saying exactly right.
Something about jail and then marbles and a dude's unit.
He won his
lawsuit.
He won his lawsuit against state prison officials who invaded his privacy by surgically removing marbles that he had implanted in his penis.
Stand by.
On purpose or a Chinese checkers game gone sideways?
I don't, you know, it's been years. I don't remember the rules.
Well, there are marbles in a Chinese checkers game.
I remember that, but
that's
I don't.
All you need to know, I think.
Yes. No, he did it on purpose in 2008 before he was incarcerated.
Okay.
He was into that body modification thing, you know, where people pierce and implant and do different things to their bodies. And so when he was in jail, they're like, oh, can't have that. We're going to have to put you in segregation if you want to keep that. Or perhaps you'll never get parole because you're, you know, we're going to have to do surgery. So they performed the surgery. They coerced him into it. And he said after the surgery, it left him with a unit that is tingling, and when it rains or snows, it becomes painful.
When it rains or snows.
That's how my fat feels when it's cold. Maybe I have
marbles. Well, that's the way his unit is now a weather vane, apparently. When I got a little tingling in my unit.
Spidey sense.
Yes.
Did they think it would be used as some sort of weapon in jail? Like, why else would they feel the need to remove such things?
Yes, Jesse. That's exactly what it is. They thought that somehow he may be able to extract those items that were underneath his skin and somehow use them in either aid of escape or as a weapon against another individual in the prison.
Or as Chelsea mentioned, maybe cheat at Chinese checkers. Got nothing up my sleeve.
That's right. Go ahead and check me. Oh, how did I get these extra marbles on the board?
There are a lot bigger problems happening in, you know, in jails in our country than a man with marbles lodged in his unit.
I disagree, Chelsea. That is the number one threat facing men in America, is the fact that we all have marbles lodged somewhere under our skin. And prison officials were forcibly removing them, basically.
If he can use a marble to escape from jail, then just let him be free.
You win, right?
Another MacGyver.
If your unit is small enough to pick the lock, you deserve to walk free.
I'm not sure how the marbles would help in that case, but yeah.
So, USA. USA. USA.
Well,
what?
I,
as a man, you should be celebrating today.
Why is that?
Because you can have marbles underneath the skin.
So they're going to put them back?
Oh, no. They're not going to put them back. His rights were violated.
So if you have twiddly sticks, what are those things called? Or jacks or something, maybe in your unit, and you do become incarcerated now because of this man paving the way.
Are you just naming children's toys?
From the 60s? Right? Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Did you say twiddly sticks? Yes. I don't think that's a thing, isn't it?
That's a combination.
You're thinking of tiddly winks,
and
right?
Pickup sticks, yes.
Uh-huh.
So.
Jacks.
Yes.
Jeez Louise.
What? That sounds awful.
You think it's crazy? I'm sure somebody listening has a jack in their unit right now.
Right. I don't think that's accurate.
Maybe on, but not in.
Well, now you can't have them removed if you go to prison. Woo!
Please clap.
Yeah.
In a year, Woody will have a game to celebrate.
The baseball cards in the spokes. That doesn't even make sense.
USA! USA!
So there was a lesson learned here, but I don't know exactly what it is.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
For those that may not be familiar, when we play a round of It Happened in Florida, which we're about to do here, that means that Woody and I are going to share three stories with you real quick. All of them are true. We're not making anything up. One of them happened in the state of Florida, which I'm guessing you know by now if you've been alive for a while. It's the leader in Goofy in this great land of ours, consistently bringing it strong. So we tip the cap to the state of Florida with this game. You spot the Florida story first, you win. 844-4-WW-SHOW. Woody's got story number one.
Who can forget the Hall of Fame classic movie with Will Ferrell and Marky Mark Wahlberg, The Other Guys? Right?
Cops.
It was the cop movie, and specifically where they try and talk Will Ferrell, who is a detective, now working with some of the guys on the street into doing what they call a desk pop. Remember that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was where, oh, come on, everybody does it. You whip out your handgun and you fire it into your desk. Mm-hmm. Trying to get him in trouble.
Actually, you stood up, I believe, and fired it into the air.
Yeah.
That was the desk pop.
Desk
you don't
pop.
Shoot
I'm sorry.
The actual desk.
I didn't make sure
you get that right.
I'm going to be vulnerable. I didn't see the movie here.
What?
I bring it up because a dude in story number one is now no longer with the police department after he did a desk pop at the headquarters of the police department. This one a little bit different. He said he accidentally fired the rifle that he was carrying, which to me makes it seem a little less accidental than a handgun.
I feel like if you're a cop firing a handgun in the police station, that better have been accidental, unless you're stopping a robbery.
Right, but what about a rifle that you're just carrying?
You know what? Tomato, tomato. Same in my mind.
By the way, this was a rifle that he was not supposed to have at the headquarters as well. He has been fired. Was it in Florida where it was his first, only, and last desk pop?
Story number two has to do with parents getting what I'm going to think is probably overly involved in their high school student's life. You know, we talk about it a lot. These helicopter parents who are always hovering and, you know, let them breathe a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And the father in story number two has decided to start a petition to get something changed at his kid's high school. Anybody want to just take a stab? I realize that's not a lot of information, but why would a parent start a petition to change something at his own kid's high school?
He hates the cheerleaders' uniforms. Too sexual.
That's a terrible guess, I feel like.
The dress code in general.
Dress code in general. No, I can't give it to you for either of those. He's upset about their mascot name.
their nickname for their athletic teams.
Cooters?
Hooters.
No.
Cooter.
None of those.
Yes, Cooch.
No, it's
Cooches.
No, it's not that. They're the Phoenix. Phoenix, as in the big city in Arizona, or the bird, however you prefer to look at it. The Phoenix. Now, why would he be upset about that? According to the petition that he has filed, which now has over 3,000 signatures, the plural of Phoenix is Phoenixes.
No.
Now, why you would be using the plural in any way, shape, or form, I'm not exactly sure, but they must be using it in some way. Phoenixes, in his mind, sounds too close to the male anatomy. And he doesn't want people in the stands yelling Phoenixes for all the world to hear. And I guess he's not comfortable apparently being forced to yell Phoenixes at athletic events at his kid's high school.
No one's calling them the Phoenixes.
That's what I'm saying, Chelsea.
Is he just mad because they're using incorrect grammar technically? And were they to use correct grammar, it would be Phoenixes. So it's all a mess.
Quoting, we were horrified to hear that the phonetics of the word Phoenixes are far too close to the word penises, according to the online petition.
I feel like I'd like my mascot name to not rhyme with penises also.
Now, maybe he thinks Phoenix in and of itself is too close, which I don't think I agree with, but I didn't know that Phoenixes was the plural of Phoenix.
Beef so and beeves.
We've all learned a little something today about I'm not making it up. This is from a legitimate news source. Is it Florida is my question for you. Woody's got the third and final.
Would you call the cops if somebody kicked your car?
Yes.
To have them arrested?
Yes.
What about if it was a horse?
Yes.
Chelsea.
Wow.
Wait, is the horse kicking my car or is somebody kicking my horse?
No, the horse is kicking your car.
Damn right I call the cops.
What would you expect the police department to do in that sort of situation?
Give the owner a citation and tell him to keep his damn horse away from my car.
Well, close, Chelsea. They arrested the horse in this particular case.
Insert Woody handcuff joke.
You can't arrest a horse.
I'm now showing Wilcox the picture of the horse behind bars in this particular jail. The owner, William, who didn't want his last name to be said it was a totally ridiculous and over-the-top reaction. He did apologize. The horse did kick the man's car, and he was willing to pay for the damages.
Okay, well, then that's fine.
But the woman called the police, and an officer arrested my horse and took him to the police station. When I arrived at the station, I found my horse was locked in a jail cell as if it was a common criminal.
Was the horse just loose and in the parking lot?
My pet had not been given any food or water and couldn't move around in the tight space. He's very upset.
Jail's not fun.
Probably wasn't read his Miranda rights either.
That's right. William went on to say, I'm just thankful it wasn't my cow because it would have been a moving violation.
So what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
He didn't really say that, but yeah, I did.
He's having a lot of fun thinking about putting a horse in the backseat of a cop car, and then you ruined it.
Was it in Florida where they took the horse to jail and put it behind bars? Maynard is up first to try and solve our quiz. Maynard, good morning.
I'm going to go with story number one.
Story number one, yes. St. Petersburg, Florida is where a police forensic technician wasn't even allowed to have a rifle there, accidentally did a desk pop, and has now been fired.
And the state of Utah is where a high school team is under fire for naming their team the Phoenix, and for some reason, somebody's pluralizing it into Phoenixes. There's a man and 3,000 others who are having none of it.
And not even in this country, northeastern Brazil is where a horse was put behind bars for nearly 24 hours after kicking a car.
See, when you say it was another country, then I am willing to sort of extend my disbelief, because if that had been America, I'm calling BS on that. Right, Chelsea?
Yes. They're
not putting a horse in jail.
No, but
not. Too hard to handcuff him. That's right.
There it is.
There's the had joke. To get it in.
Well done. We're going to find out more reasons to hate Woody coming up in the next 15 to 20 minutes with a round of Woody Game Wednesday. So stand by for that.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, Cox, I have a quick question for you. Being a cat owner that you are,
right?
For those that don't know, Wilcox has two cats. One likes him. One can't stand him.
You know what? I'll tell you, Klaus is starting to come around. It's only been 2 years, mm-hmm. and he eventually, I feel like, may be able to be in the same room with me. So
that's a huge breakthrough.
Yeah. I actually pet Klaus last night, which was a huge step in our relationship.
Carlos is still cool with
Carlos
you?
Carlos is fine. We've been boys since way back.
How many times have you maybe gone out with your wife on a date night and you thought to yourself, wow, this is a really nice place. I wish we could have the cats here.
I'm not sure I'm following you.
Well, let's say, you know, you get a babysitter and you take your wife out to, I don't know, a wine bar of sorts, and you're like sitting around enjoying a nice Pinot Grigio, perhaps a Chablis.
Yeah, okay.
And you go, man, this place could use some cats.
I've never thought that, actually.
I bring it up because a Kickstarter that I happen to stumble across is hoping to do just that for the residents of Denver. They want to have the first ever Denver cat bar where you can sit around and drink great wine and enjoy commingling with felines.
So the cats are pouring or the cats are making the wine?
Cats cannot be trusted to pour wine. They always overserve. No, it's like a lot of other places that we've had before that I think are usually coffee shops mm-hmm. where you can sort of go in and get your mocha lattes or whatever it is, and then there's cats roaming freely in the store. And as you sit there and pretend to write the next great American novel on your laptop, you can stroke a kitty while enjoying your Frappuccino. This takes it to another level in the fact that they're going to be serving fine wines from around the world, and there's going to be cats roaming around, because who wouldn't want a little cat hair in their, you know, Cabernet? Cat-bernay?
There's a Kickstarter for this?
Yes.
They're opening a whole new place, or they're somehow just needing to raise money to buy the cats bus fare?
No. In order for the Denver Cat Bar to become a reality, they need to raise $60,000 to help secure a location. All of the cats at the bar will be up for adoption in case you're having a glass of Perlot and you think to yourself,
stop making cat pun wine things.
Stop. No one likes it. No one. Not even Leo.
Leo is loving it right now.
I have
Perlot. Step into my office.
You can really smell the whiskers in this one.
Okay. Step into my office.
What?
Get your f***ing fired.
Well, we know of places where it's BYOD, where you take your dog down to the bar.
Bring your own dog?
Is this BYOC?
No, it's not, Chelsea. This is going to be strictly a place where you can go for people who maybe...
cats.
Yeah, maybe live in a place that doesn't allow you to have a cat, but you really want to experience what it's like to own a cat briefly.
I would want to see this place just for the antics, because you know a cat will let you pet it, and then it will bite the hell out of your finger.
Right.
Knock over your drink. Climb on your head.
Yes.
Fight with other cats.
Yes.
Lay on your paper.
Maybe take a couple of plays off, Chelsea.
Yes.
What he said, Perlot. Let's not forget that.
No, I haven't. I'm trying to forget it, but thank you for bringing it back up. I was nearly over it.
All right. Well,
would you have preferred Pernod Noir?
Nope.
No. No, I would not have. How long have you been thinking about Moscato?
Chelsea, you're part of the problem.
It's fun now, isn't it?
You're part of the problem.
It is. It absolutely is.
Well, there should be one of these in every city.
Is there some way to work the grape stomping lady into this bit? It's been a while since I've heard her.
Oh, the lady who's out at the wine festival?
And falls out of the grape vat? Maybe are there cats somehow making wine in this wine bar?
Or when they're making muffins?
Right. You know, they like to knead things. Something there, I feel like.
Oh, right. Oh, stop.
Ooh, I think she's... Ooh. Ooh, yeah, we're going to find out how she's doing.
Ah, no, she took a serious fall.
Ooh.
I can't speak without a teleprompter.
I don't think that has anything to do with cats in a bar, but somehow I'd like to see them combined.
The grape stomping lady was one of the first things that I remember, like... people excitedly passing it around via email. And oh my God, have you seen this?
Probably 10 years ago.
Seminars, arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun, a whole day.
Stop. Oh, I can't breathe. Stop.
So the whole time, I mean, I'm guessing everybody has seen this clip by now, but maybe you haven't. At this point, it's a live shot out at some vineyard, and the woman disappears out of view when she falls out of this vat that's up on the platform. There's the other woman who works at the winery who jumps down to try and help her, and the whole time the camera is just focused on the two vats of grapes with no one now standing in it while this woman
off cameras.
And then eventually they cut back to the two, you know, anchors back in the studio who, of course, don't know how to react to what they've just witnessed.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Boy, gosh, I hope she's okay.
Okay, we're going to make sure she is.
We'll try and check on her and get back to you as soon as we can.
We'll be back right after this.
Still funny. I don't care.
10 years later.
That's right.
Some low-rated morning show still playing that thing on repeat.
Damn right.
We won't let it die, lady.
Oh, you're talking about us.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Wilcox, I got a question for you. I know you purchased a couple of houses, and before that, lived in a lot of different places and rented apartments. You ever find anything weird in your house when you moved into a new place?
You mean you move into a new place and what? Somebody who lived there before had left something interesting behind?
Exactly.
Like a journal or maybe a valuable painting, dead body. Didn't we just hear a story about that the other day?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When I bought a house a couple of houses ago, we were crawling under the house and I was running some wire or something like that. And I found a package that had photographs that were mounted on like some cardboard and stuff from the Vietnam War that somebody who had owned the house previously had obviously stored under the house and left there. It was fascinating. Pictures of Navy ships and of temples and things like that. It was amazing. I went back to see who owned the house before and who rented it. I couldn't return it to the people. And there was no name on it, but it was fascinating. It was a little creepy when you open up this thing that's underneath your house and there's these pictures of somebody else in their life. Very fascinating. I bring it up because there was a woman who bought a house in Nashville, Tennessee, and she was going to move in, and she found something weird in there. The dude who was selling the house, still living there.
Oh.
That's a little bit weird if you had that. By the way, it was one of these things where he claims that on the paperwork, it didn't say anywhere that he could not stay past the closing date. So he's staying in his house. When you ask him, hey, did you sell the house? Yes. Yes, I did. I got money. I sold the house. And are you going to move out since it's not your house? No, I don't have to.
We're talking about Hugh Hefner here?
That's right. Maybe he's doing the Hefner deal.
He may be, but that's not written in the contract like it was when the Playboy Mansion was sold.
Oh, I see.
He's one of those guys. He's like, look, I'm camping out. This is where I live. They say it could take 45 to 60 days just to evict him through normal legal channels. She's making monthly payments on a house where he's living there.
She should just move in there and just try to be a terrible roommate and see if he leaves.
Would you close your eyes with a dude like that in the house, Chelsea? A little bit freaky. Matt is online too at 844-4WW-SHOW. Matt, what'd you find in your house?
We moved into this place and we were looking at the attic and we found this creepy doll that was a clown.
Nope.
It was like roughly the size.
You better stop right now, man. You better stop right now. I'm gonna wet my pants. You know what? I don't like clowns, Matt.
Wow.
I know. It was freaky, and it had teeth and everything. It was
teeth?
Like the weirdest thing. It was like from like the 1920s. It had my this weird smile.
My hands are sweating. just your description right now. Is
keep doing
me the creeps,
it. Make him
Matt.
Uncomfortable.
Was that the only thing left behind?
Yeah, I mean, they had some other crap there as well. A lot of, old baseball cards and everything and their doll collection, but that was by far the creepiest doll we've seen. And we were just, we couldn't sleep at night because knowing that it was there, you know, we pretty much, we threw it out, but I mean, the memory of it still stayed there.
Yeah, right. had to burn some sage and, you know, maybe bring in a priest.
Matt, you don't put that in the trash. You set it on fire in the front yard.
No, burning it makes the spirits come out.
Matt, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
All right, you guys have a nice day.
You too. 844-4WW-SHOW. No more clown calls. It's a weird thing that you found in your house.
It doesn't always have to be creepy. Tiffany is running on the Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, and you can do the same. This wasn't a house that we actually moved into, but my parents were looking into buying a home, and my dad found a ton of kids' trophies left behind in one of the rooms. They felt so bad, they didn't buy the house for that reason. Not creepy or anything, just thought it was weird and sad that a kid's trophies had been left behind in the house.
You can't keep those things forever.
What do you do with them, though?
Melt them down.
What? Well, apparently they hadn't gotten around to melting them down and had moved out and left them behind.
844-4WW-SHOW. I think Chris is on the line and has something for us. Chris, you're on with Woody Wilcox. What's the story, man?
When I was like 12 years old, I was looking for some Christmas presents in my grandparents' home, and I was in their closet. Probably shouldn't have been. And I found some boxes in the top of the closet. I couldn't see them, so I just pulled them down, thinking, well, these might be my Christmas presents that they're hiding from me. And I unfortunately happened upon their sex toys.
Like a box of dongs rained down on you?
No, not quite. I mean, it was a box with a dong in it, and it had some illustrations of some sort of spinning situation. I don't really know.
Illustration?
Spinning like, situation.
Like hand done?
It was large. It was quite large. I hate to admit that, but it was a little hard to look my grandmother in the eye from that point on.
Well, maybe it is more than like what we were talking about than what you think. Maybe these were just left behind by the previous owners mm-hmm. of the house. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, unfortunately, my great grandmother owned the house before that.
Great grandmothers need love too. Yeah.
It's a family heirloom.
Oh, pass it down from generation to generation. Well, Chris, they're going to pass it down to you.
I was about to say, when I went to marry my wife, my grandmother handed me this and said, make sure that she gets this.
Yeah, you're right. Not exactly what we were talking about, but
a fun story.
Yeah, always good time.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW. Also on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, where somebody, PCW Crap, has tweeted out a picture of the, and he says, the house I bought has Zach is dead written in crayon on a wall in the basement.
I'll maybe clean that off.
Well, that's still creepy.
Yes. Where is Zach?
It can't be unseen.
That would be a little bit creepy moving mm-hmm. into a house and you see something written on the wall about somebody being dead. Mm-hmm. 844-4WW-SHOW is how you can get through it. A lot of people saying that, you know, writing on the wall seems to be a very popular one. Inside closets, like kids' closets where they're seeing things I can't say on the radio.
Well, unless it says Red Rum, I feel like there's a lot of writing happening in kids' closets.
Red Rum! Red Rum!
You just did that so he would do it, right?
But the only thing he does, it makes me laugh.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.